views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
The Janice Underwood Show, unleashing the creator within for real. Tune in each Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as Janice explores the life creator system, helping listeners access the tools needed to create the life experiences most appropriate for their soul's growth. In this hit show, you will learn about relationships, energetics, mind and body communication, quantum healing, intuition, and much more. Create the life you want, not the life you tolerate on The Janice Underwood Show.
Welcome, everyone. Happy Monday morning to you. I hope you had an amazing weekend, and we are here starting out this beautiful week at our show here on Transformation Talk Radio. So you're here with me, your host, Janice Underwood, and I am so grateful to have our guest today. We are going to be talking with an amazing coach and speaker and author. Her name is Teresa Bittner, and she specializes in resiliency, change, and loss. She partners with those who have been knocked down by life and those who want to build resiliency and move forward to find and live their bold, fulfilled life. And she's here today to talk to us about her new book. It's called Soul Love, How a Dog Taught Me to Breathe Again. And this is a beautifully written memoir that I had an opportunity to read. And I have to say, it's beautifully written. It's about her journey from crushing grief and utter despair. And it's a journey from moving from that to finding herself and her soul and being able to live boldly again. Welcome so much to the show, Teresa. How are you?
I am great. Thank you so much for having me, the opportunity and the support and amazing kind words for Soul Love. I so appreciate it.
Well, I have to say, Teresa, it was such a, you know, you and I have talked about this offline a few times, and it was such a great honor to participate in your book launch team. And I just thought, wow, what an amazing way to bring people together and also for you to get some feedback about the book. And so it's neat also to meet people who are willing to share their story. And so let's talk about that, because this is a story about loss and and grief and finding one's, you know, bearings again. So why talk about grief?
Why talk about grief?
Yeah.
Well, nobody wants to talk about it. That's in the Western world where it's kind of considered a taboo topic. We don't talk about it. And it just, in some ways, cracks me up. And I didn't really think it's funny. I mean, grief is not a funny topic. But at the same time, it's not if, it's just when. Somewhere, somehow, you're going to be dealing with grief, be it, you know, a pet, a child, your own spouse, someone you love. So it's going to happen. And when I first lost my husband, I thought, before I had lost him, I thought, I understand grief. I got it. A bunch of people in my family died. Blah, I get it. It happens. Yeah. And then when he died, I realized how absolutely unprepared I was. And I've learned and grown to research and found out, wow, there's a lot of things we don't know. And I really want to open up the conversations about grief and also show grief to people through the book of Soul Love. Like, this is what it's really like, because it's not pretty.
Yeah, and what I appreciated about the book is that, you know, you can relate to it. You go into a relatable space where, that's the day-to-day stuff that needs to be taken care of. And now you have this big situation that you're not prepared for. And that's now on top of that, that you've got to start navigating through. So, you know, what is it that you feel people need the most in a time like that?
And it depends on, you know, kind of how the death occurred. But when a death occurs in that the very first, they just need love. People to just listen and love on them and maybe help them out if they're really good friends with the day-to-day things. Because it's great friends kept saying, just breathe, breathe. And I had one gal pal shoving green grapes at me, which I still don't like to this day. And another one, drink water. You need to drink. And I'm like, oh, I'm on a dry heave. Leave me alone. I hate you people, but I love you. So right at first, I think it's real important to, you know, if you have a support network, let them help you. That was one of the things I didn't want people to help me, but allowing them. And I was so broken, and especially if it's a traumatic or complicated death, there can be a lot of things in there that you're dealing with that nobody knows about. And just taking the time to allow those feelings to occur. And I always like to tell everybody, it's your journey. Your grief is not going to look like your spouse's, your kids, anybody else's grief. It's a very unique grief journey for you. And right at first, you know, as long as you're not physically abusing each other, whatever happens, just let it happen. Screaming, yelling, crying is okay. I always say, don't scream and yell at each other. We did that. It wasn't the greatest thing. You know, scream and yell about the situation or at the couch or the tree. It's a good thing. Or the dogs. They don't like it, but they understand.
You don't understand. Yeah, you know, let's talk about a moment. It's in the title. You know, when you were talking right now, what struck me was breathing again, right? Taking those moments to breathe again. And of course, in this book, you're talking about how a dog helped you do that.
Right.
So tell us about that.
Well, as I've gotten into my own spiritual practices and learned more about breathing, breath is so key to all of us. We all have to breathe. Yeah. And when you're under high stress, you take more gasping types of short breaths. And how often do we stop and just take a really deep breath and fill our lungs and hold it and exhale? When you're under stress, we don't do that. And, you know, for me, just breathing at all was a really good thing at the beginning parts. And just taking a time, they're like, come on, breathe with me, breathe with me. Like, I don't have any breath exercises. I'm not having a baby. I'm grieving. Leave me alone. But doing that is, it's a central thing to reconnect ourselves or recenter. So that's like the breath part in my mind. And then the dog part of helping me breathe again, having dogs and animals, A, it gives you a purpose in life. You have to care for them. We got him as a puppy. We can give a little bit of that away in the story. So we have this large Doberman dog puppy turning into a beast. And you have to breathe. And puppies provide beauty and fun and laughter. And it was such an experience. And then as he became his godlike character dog, that I believe he was an angel that he came down to help us, he was just there. And he would sit and you'd just look at him and you'd breathe. And I'd talk to him. Hans and I would just chit-chat like crazy people. No.
Yeah. And, you know, Teresa, I loved that you wove in his perspective, you know, into the book. Why was that important for the story?
So let's see. So when I started writing the book, I could only write so much. And I'm not a writer. I'll tell everybody listening, I'm not a writer. Good grief. No, I don't even journal. I don't like journaling.
Oh, wow.
But
I didn't know that about you. That's,
no.
That's cool.
People will be like, you have to be a journaler. No, not really. What I do like to do is I like to post on social media. I like to talk. So that's my ways of journaling in a way. It's like verbal journaling. Those verbal processors, visual kinesthetic gals.
Right.
So I knew how I wanted to write the book, but I kept getting stuck. There's like things, I can't say this. It's too raw. It's too painful. I'm not going to say it. And I thought, Hans, the dog can say it. That's a great idea. I'm going to have, and that'll be a unique aspect of my book because memoirs are memoirs, but oh, you need to find a unique book. When I started researching and writing a book, I'm like, oh, I'll have Hans do the hard stuff and he'll tell all the yucky stuff that's really going on that I don't want to talk about that is scary or sensitive. And he can tell the audience because I'm not going to tell him. I'm just not going to do that. And that's how I wove Hans in. I will say for anybody out there who is a writer, good gravy, don't have two complex characters. It made writing really challenging.
Oh, yeah. I can only imagine, you know, having two different voices, right? Two distinct experiences going on. But, you know, it all came together really well. And, you know, this is a question that, you know, I am I'm very curious about, which is, okay, so a lot of people, you know, they go through loss, they go through grief. Mm-hmm. What made you want to write a book? Because not everybody does that. You know, they're like, nope, I don't want to do that. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to share it with anybody. You know, so what makes someone want to write a book?
That's a really good topic. I did not want to write the book, actually. No, I did not actually want to write the book. And, you know, if you'd asked me right after it happened or even 2 years after it happened, are you going to write a book? I'd be like, yeah, no, I just want to get through this and never talk about it again. Right. Stuff it in the closet and forget about it. Yeah. But it was, people kept telling me, resilient. I'm just thinking, I am not strong. I'm not resilient. I'm surviving. But as I got further along in my grief and had more perspective and reflective time, I realized, wow, you know, you really are more resilient. It goes into, you know, I grew up in a different, you know, alcoholic abusive home, and I've had a lot of resilience and other things happen. So I was more prepared than others. And I thought, wow, and I am doing pretty good. I went to some other groups where there's other people who are grieving and they're really stuck in their grief. And I'm like, no, I don't want to be stuck. So I thought, well, yeah, okay. And they're like, oh, you should write about it. I'm like, yeah, it's kind of weird, but all right, maybe I'll start. So I kind of jotted down kind of an outline, and I kind of left it at that. And then it was like a good God divine thing. It kept tapping me on the shoulder. Hey, you need to write this book. Hey, where's that book going? Come on. Or I'd meet somebody and talk to them, go and share my story. And they're like, oh, that's so helpful. Thank you. You should tell more people. And I'm like, I don't want to, I only want to get out of, I could speak about it, but that's awkward. Okay, I need to write the book, and it kept coming back. Wow. And I started writing it, and then my mother became ill with congestive heart failure, and then she died. And I'm just like, there's no way I'm writing this book, so I put it down for a while. Mm-hmm. And then it kept coming back. You need to finish the book. You need to finish the book. So I was like, oh, now I want to write a story about elder care and that painful process. I'm like, oh, but I didn't finish the other book. Darn. So. It's the divine kept tapping me, and finally it was like, okay, and I have a great coach of my own, and she was like, so you're going to write the dang book or you're not going to write
right.
it? It's like, well, I don't know. She's like, no, you do know. I'm like, I guess I'll write it. She's like, there's no guess, so what's stopping you? I'm like, I have to actually do it. Well, this is hard.
Talk about a creative project that wanted to be born, right? I mean, you know, it's so neat that you mentioned that, because sometimes with projects that we're reluctant to do, there's signs everywhere. People talk to you and you're just like, okay, all right, I'm listening. I got it. I guess I need to do this thing. So it's really neat that you didn't give up on that, that you kept listening and leaning in, because now we've got a book that, you know, as I've told people, you don't really have to have gone through a loss like this to resonate with the message in this book. And so, you know, we're getting ready to go to break, and I'd love to talk to you when we come back about your resiliency and how it can move you from a situation like this into what you call the bold, fulfilled life, right?
Right.
Really living. And I think that's, just so much to talk about with you, and just so grateful that you're here today. So for our listeners, if you want more information about the book or Teresa, you can go to boldfulfilledlifecoach.com. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
Gifted intuitive healer and spiritual teacher, Sarah Luce, brings her unique style to the hit show, Small Steps, Big Breakthrough Radio, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in each month as Sarah turns reality on end and shows us how to experience expansive results with simple yet powerful steps. Expect an enlightening bend on what you currently believe is possible. For show details and upcoming topics, visit SarahLuce.com. That's SarahLuce.com.
A word of caution. If you prefer the status quo and you are not interested in improving every aspect of your life, this book will trigger the shift out of you. The Truth is Funny, Shift Happens is available now. Author Colette Steffen brings the powerful knowledge and life-changing energy and empowerment from the radio airwaves to the pages of her new book. To get your copy in paperback or ebook, visit thetruthisfunny.com today.
If you're dealing with fear and anxiety, you've probably noticed that the more you fight these emotions, the stronger they seem to get. Dr. Friedemann Schaub, the author of The Fear and Anxiety Solution, explains that instead of suppressing, we need to identify and resolve the deeper, subconscious root causes of fear and anxiety. His personal breakthrough program has helped thousands worldwide to overcome their emotional challenges. To learn more, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com and schedule your free consultation with Dr. Schaub now.
Practice living in wholeness with the body tune-up. Six classes for $89 designed for radical self-healing and self-regeneration. Heal the deepest root of any challenge. The mental body was programmed in negativity, not good enough, separate from source. You're too much, you'll never make it. The emotional body holds all the pain and trauma of emotional suppression, all the pain from this life and life's past. The spiritual body is the place you connect with your higher power, your higher self, with the image and likeness of the One. The physical body houses and expresses the other three bodies every day. Go to CorneliaStephanie.com. Evolve, become a practitioner. We need to heal, integrate, and bring into wholeness and harmony the physical body, addressing all the other bodies in order to live in our true, authentic nature.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We are here with Teresa Bittner, and we're talking about soul love and resiliency and living your bold, fulfilled life. You're here with me, Janice Underwood, and we're enjoying our conversation on Transformation Talk Radio today. Ah, Teresa, you know, we could just talk all day about this stuff, couldn't we?
Yes.
You know, we were just talking about resiliency, and, you know, that's really popping out at me because, you know, as we were discussing on the break, everybody processes through situations differently. And, you know, so can you, because you specialize in this, right, in helping mm-hmm. people really tap into, you know, themselves. And I would imagine for some of your clients, it's the first time that they're tapping into the true self. So tell yes. me a little bit about resiliency and how it can move people forward.
I'd love to talk about that. One of my favorite topics. I do lots of research on it. And I always like to bring forth the image. I'm a visual gal, so we're going to go imagery again. And the image I have is of a spring. You can push the spring down and it bounces back. You can pull it, stretch it, and it will recover. And that's the definition of resiliency is the capacity to recover quickly from difficulties and toughness. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, you know, will be looking to you, especially if you've grieved, to bounce back quickly. But that may or may not happen. Or you may bounce back quicker than some people might like. And that can cause some awkwardness there. So let's see. You asked me the question of resiliency and what it can look like in action. Mm-hmm. And it's real important for people when you've had a loss, even if it's a good loss, like you get married, it's a great, happy time. But guess what? Yeah. You're going to have to share your house with somebody or your living place. Ugh, that could be awkward. And there's always a loss. So I tell people, grieve that loss. Write down what those losses are and, you know, have a little pity party. You're like, oh, man. You always, you know, my underwear is going to be mixed with his in the laundry. It's gross or whatever. and then I like to take people through, there is a grief stages. I don't like that term, but I like to use the words. It's a journey and it's individual to each person, but you're likely to feel sadness. You may feel angry, totally normal to feel angry and be angry about anything. And by allowing yourself to go through all of the different steps, you've got anger, you've got bargaining, which sounds like, oh, if I could have kept Chris off the motorcycle, oh, mama should have taken her meds. I should have been there. That's the bargaining state, which that's my personal state of getting stuck in grief. And yeah, anger can last for a while too. I was pretty angry with Chris for a number of years about that situation. And then you move into, which is actually healthy, is depression. It's a sad place, but it's a place with all of the different stages of the grief journey. You want to be careful you don't get stuck. Well, depression sounds like, whoa, that's a good place. It actually is, because it's signs that you're beginning to move forward in your growth through that. And that you're sad and you're depressed about it, which means you're accepting it. That's a little tiny beginning of acceptance. And where we all want to be is acceptance. And acceptance, and I tell my clients, I work with them and we work through that. And it might be, you can say to yourself in your head, okay, I'm a widow. Chris isn't here. And you can kind of say it quietly. That's first step. And I tell them, when you can look yourself in the mirror and boldly say, you know, I'm a widow. I know Chris is dead. I'm going to survive. And you don't dry heave, cry, fall apart for just 30 seconds. We'll start with 30 seconds. You're on your way to acceptance. And then obviously we work further into what acceptance and resiliency can look like. And then once you get to the acceptance, and I often tell people, you've really got to spend your time through your grief journey. And you may feel all of those stages in 5 seconds and feel like you're crazy. I was there. That's normal. I call that my ball of grief emotion. Or you may feel it over days, months, and years. Or you can feel like, yep, I'm accepting. And then you hear something, you smell something, and you're like, oh, God, I hate this. And you're just a wreck again. And it's totally normal. And once you're in the acceptance phase, more often than not, then you're ready to start building a plan for the future. And that's where I really like to partner with people. And okay, we're at acceptance. If we're not to acceptance, we'll work through that. You know, if you need to see a counselor or a different professional, that's awesome. And then when you're ready to really move forward and make some plans, like you pop your head up from grief and go like, holy cow, I am still alive. And man, my house is a wreck. My yard's a wreck. My job's a wreck. My family's a wreck. Whatever. I need some help. Yeah. That's when we can start putting together plans about what's important. How do we move next? And that gets you kind of that. Once you are able to start making forward moving plans and doing stuff for yourself, that's really what I see acceptance and boldly living again looks like. That's a really long answer to your question.
No, it's perfect. It's perfect. It's what you specialize in. And I love, you know, I love that your website incorporates that. It is about living boldly, not just, oh, I'm living and existing. Right? And it's a little different.
Yeah. And it is kind of the first stage is, can I breathe, put on my clothes and get out of bed and go to work and not you know, shriek at somebody or cry? I was teaching at that time, cry in front of my students. My poor little sixth grade students, they were awesome. They were kind of the best therapy for me. They were great. So sweet. But once you can do that, then you're surviving. And at some point you realize, okay, I am living and I want more. There's more to life. Darn it. I was a younger widow. I was in my 40s. And it's like, that's one of the reasons I started my business is there's just not a lot of resources for young. There are if you're in the military or service personnel, but there's just not a lot out for, quote, you know, normal young people.
Right, right. Yeah. And so that's, you know, because sometimes we find ourselves accidentally in our profession. So I'd imagine, is this kind of how you ended up being a coach? It's not like you said, hey, one day I want to help people with this. Was it just a natural progression into helping others?
It was. And as I would, so I, you know, okay, I figured all that out. My life was great now. You know, I had a boyfriend. I'm like, okay, I knew teaching was kind of a short-term thing. So I had been in high tech and I left that to teach so I could hang out with the boys and be more available to my children. And I knew the teaching was not forever. I enjoyed it, but I was like, I'll probably do something else. I always had wanted to start a company and thought it would be consulting. And then I found coaching and I was like, that's what I want to do. Absolutely. I want to do that. That's perfect. Fought doing grief tooth and nail, did not want to do it. Started out with business and career, which I do really well. But the grief part of it kept along with the book, knocking
just
on
coming me, up.
And people kept coming to me. I'm like, okay, fine. We'll incorporate this.
This is just fine. Okay, I've got it.
I remember telling my coach, I'm like, I don't want to do grief. I'm over it. She was like, and I can't do grief right now. I'm busy with my mom and she's dying and I'll cry on the phone. I can't coach people like that. She's like, oh, so showing people you're human isn't good? I'm like, well, no, but what?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's like, okay, fine, I'll deal with it. And it was my own not wanting to deal with grief. And as I've gotten into it, I'm like, oh, I was still uncomfortable and had some stuff to work through. I'm a work in progress. It's never over. I say you get through it. You're never over. The hole's always there and the memories will be there. Just you can live more in your own purpose.
Mm. Was it emotional for you to write the book?
Oh my gosh, yes. I could only write for short bits and pieces. So it started out at 30 minutes and then maybe an hour. If I was really in a groove, maybe 2 hours. I would cry through a lot of it. And I literally did not, the only time I didn't cry is the last edit before we went to print. I was able to read it professionally, kind of with my other eyes, and not start crying again at some point in the book. I was like, oh my gosh, this is ridiculous. But it was a tough write. It was very therapeutic. It was very hard, but, and I kept putting it down for that very reason. Cause it was like, ooh, this is hard. I don't want to do it.
And yeah.
A great friend of mine, coach, is like, and she had published her own book. It's like, just write it. Just, it doesn't have to be beautiful. Cause I was worried about all the grammar and making the story flow and the arc and all the other crazy author things you do. And she's like, just write. Which I did. And then once I had it on paper, I'm like, oh, now I've got something I can work with.
Wow. And was it hard to remember some of the situation that you had been through?
Remembering? No, because some of these things were embedded in indelible ink in my brain. Like I could live the first few days, I relived kind of in a post-traumatic way. PTSD kind of way every day for about 2 years until I got my own counseling because it was just so vivid in my mind, the days. And some of it I didn't remember. So I did a kind of a unique thing. I went out to my Facebook posts because my friends and family are far and wide and they were truly worried about me, which I think they should have been because if I didn't have my kids' teaching career, I don't know what I would have done. But I promised them I would post every day on Facebook for the first year. So I had to come up with something, you know, not like, well, I just drank a whole nother bottle of, you know, Kahlua today and cried all day. I had to find something to write.
So
I used my Facebook posts as an outline for my book, which helped me remember things as well.
And then so it was like a journal, but just on Facebook.
Kind of on Facebook. And somebody had given me a journal at that point, and I just laughed at it. I'm like, I don't journal. She's like, I really think you should journal. This would be therapeutic. I'm like, it probably would be, but I'm not going to. And I tried really hard to journal, but it just didn't
happen. Not everybody's a journaler, right, by the way. And it's exactly what you said about grief, too. It's like everybody grieves differently. Everybody gets access to a resiliency differently. It's a good point to make that, we're all unique and our journeys are unique. So we're going to go to a short break here pretty soon.
Okay. Wow, that's fast.
Yeah, I know it does. Time flies, right, when you're having fun. And so Teresa, how can people connect with you if they wanted to get coaching or learn more about you? Let's see, we gave you the website. Any other way to get a hold of you?
They can reach me at boldfulfilledlifecoach.com. They could also email me at Teresa, no H, so it's Teresa, T-E-R-E-S-A at boldfulfilledlifecoach.com, all one word.
Wonderful. And your clients, if a listener is listening to you right now, I mean, what do your clients usually work with you towards?
It varies. A lot of them, we start out with career, but it ends up finding out, where are we stuck and where do we need to get to? Like, what's the next most important goal that you want to reach in life? I also have many clients in some sort of grief or they've just had a lot of things change and they're just overwhelmed by the change and they feel lost, kind of adrift is one way to look at it. And they come to me and we work on figuring out, okay, let's figure out what's going right, what's going wrong, where do you want to go? And kind of pointing the compass in the way for them. And I help bring out their greatness. They really do the work. I just help guide them.
Wonderful. So listeners, if you are resonating with Teresa's story, get in contact with her. And with that, we'll be right back.
tap into the wisdom of animals, angels, and masters with Darcy Pariso on Animal Soul Wisdom Radio. Tune in monthly as Darcy brings insights on how to better understand and deepen our relationships with animals. Working with light and pureness of ancient techniques, Darcy, healer, animal communicator, and medium, is here to guide you through this process and provide inspiration to move forward. For more information about working with Darcy, visit darcypariso.com.
Take your own journey with the angels with Claire Candy Hoff's heaven-sent guided angel meditation CD. Letting go of concerns and living in the now. This beautiful CD walks listeners through practical exercises to help free them from the burdens, worries, and concerns of daily life.
Walking a quarter of the way across the bridge, you see a bright emerald green light and sense a loving presence. This is Archangel Raphael's green healing energies, nourishing and revitalizing you. Take a moment now to bathe in this green healing light.
Giving you much more than just relaxation and stress release, this wonderfully narrated CD provides vivid visualization, soothing and inspiring music, and an angel's choir that will bring you peace, clarity, and a newfound awareness. Visit angelhealinghouse.com today.
Are you your story? Or can you change your story? Can you change what you believe to be true about yourself and your circumstances as part of your healing journey? What if you were to change your expectations? What if you were to invite ease and cooperation into every day and then step back and see what happens? It might just be easier. I'm Megan Edge, and I hope that you'll join me on my new radio show, Playing on the Edge, Radical Change with Ease, with my co-host, Dr. Pat, on Transformation Talk Radio. I look forward to seeing you there.
Want to find out more about Megan Edge? Visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Tune in to the hit show Raging Skillet Radio, Mouthing Off with Chef Rossi. Chef Rossi mouths off about different subjects in pursuit of breaking down walls and opening up your minds. She and Dr. Pat banter back and forth, taking from the headlines of the day on subjects that reach beyond what goes on in the world into your hearts. And go to theragingskillet.com to find out more and let Chef Rossi know what's on your mind.
Welcome back, everyone. You're here at the Janice Underwood Show, and we're talking about soul love, how a dog taught me to breathe again. And, you know, it's a story that takes us through the journey of loss and grief and into resiliency. And my guest today is Teresa Bittner. She specializes in helping people get knocked down somehow into the life that they want. And there are stages to that, as we've been talking about, going through denial and actually processing through the loss. And so, Teresa, you know, what's been really interesting about your book is, just from my own experience, and you probably have more to share on this, is the unexpected effect it had on me when I was reading it. So it's a book that goes beyond just what happened to you and how you moved through it. But somehow or another, I don't know how you did it, but I could connect in to a bigger message, which was love and grace is everywhere. Was that intentional? Was that something that was built into this book?
It's funny. I get chill bumps just thinking about it.
I know, me too.
When I first wrote it, I didn't intend that. But as I was going through the review process and editing and with the critique groups, there was a couple of people who kept keying into that this is becoming a spiritual book. And I'm like, well, yes, but no. I mean, it's not like going to go and, yeah, I can't see it going there. But it ends up being that way because it was profoundly about love and grace that came through. And I hadn't thought about the grace part until you actually mentioned it. And other people had mentioned it. And I'm just kind of like, okay, yeah, poo-poo.
Yeah, yeah.
But it really brought me to that place of just really believing that in the end, everything that matters is love. And if you can find grace through a really hard time and allow grace to bless you, it's amazing what you can come through and how it can build you up resiliently as well.
Yeah, you know, topics like love and grace, they tend to be very nominalized, especially like in our culture. And certainly people aren't talking about it when they're in a lot of grief, right? So what are some ways that you can look back now and see that grace was there for you?
It started out day one. Day one, I was absolutely blown away. We got the news. By the time I got to the house, we lived in a ranch at that time. The whole like front driveway and front part of the house was full of cars. And I thought, who are these people and why are they here? This is so crazy. And we walked into the house, which I still to this day don't know. Like, how do people get in my home? I don't even know. Somebody must have had a key. I don't know. And there was people from church, from school, from work, from my old work, people I didn't even know there, just wanting to be there to show love and support. What can we do? What can we do? And of course, I don't know what to do. So message to the listeners, grieving people usually don't know what to do. So help them make that list. And they just showed up and they were there to clean. And, you know, they wanted to do laundry. I would hesitate not to do the deceased laundry because I didn't have any smell left over. But we had a lot of laundry, so I let them do the laundry and clean the house. And I woke up the next morning and this dude's out there bright and early power washing my house. He's like, no, I know it was something Chris always wanted to get to. I was like, okay, thank you. That's pretty weird. And they just, it just kept coming and coming. And throughout the journey, when I went back to work, I was super supportive school district that just showered love on myself and the boys. They made sure the boys, you know, if they had a couple tardies, we'll just kind of overlook those. We'll give them some more time in their assignments. For me as a teacher, I had a substitute available throughout the rest of the school year. If I was going to have a bad day, they'd just have her in and it was no big deal. Don't even worry about it. So that's some of the early on ones. It was absolutely incredible and it blew me away. And as time wore on, I got kind of I was resistant to the help because I am very much a New York gal, got it together, professional project manager. I don't need no stinking people to help me because you're not going to do it right, for God's sake. And my pastor's wife, she was so good. She's reverse psychology. I mean, she's like, of course you don't need help. Why don't you let them help you so they can feel blessed? You just allow it. They'll do a crummy job. Just allow it. And in the end, it was so humbling because they blessed me more than I could ever bless them. And it was also a way to let them process their grief. And this is one of the things I tell my folks that I work with, my clients. They're like, all these people want to help me. I don't want them in my house. I just want to hide. I'm like, of course you do. But they need help grieving and you need help. Let them cut the grass. Let them weed whack. Let them, you know, take the kids to school, let them help you, because if they can do anything besides bring really good or really not so good casseroles that some people just shouldn't make. We got really tired of casseroles, but I love everything. But after a while, I'm like, if I eat another stink of lasagna and I'm going to gain another 20 pounds. And I tell people with this, when you're bringing things, always ask, may I do X, Y, Z for you? Can I go grocery shopping for you? Can I pick up a prescription? Can I drive you to the bank? Gosh, it just happened. Let's not have you driving. Let's take you places. And just keep reaching out, because and then the Christmas season came and my late husband's work blessed us with this just gigantic, ridiculous gift basket with more goodies and things than any. It's just the outpouring of love was insane. It was crazy.
Yeah. Were you able to process all of that at the time, or did it take you a while to, you know, really look back and say, oh, this is what's been going on. We've been supported.
I kind of knew, but it took, as more time went on, especially as I look back now and I tell people about this, it's just like, nobody has that kind of support. How did that happen? I'm like, well, my husband and I were very involved in our community. We were very loving and did stuff with the kids, and We just did what we thought was normal, and people wanted to help us. And
that's, yeah,
it's, and I, as I realize now, it was so blessed. And I mean, like, kids' youth groups came out from our church, other churches, like, oh, we're going to do what? I had to, like, find trees for them to cut down finally after a time. I'm like, I live on a ranch. Go those trees down. Sure. Do this. And it was nice. And it allowed the kids to help process their grief as they watched their teacher, you know, come back and deal with it. And I was very honest with my students, and they were very open to it.
Really?
Nice. Yeah.
Oh. Talk about some resiliency in them, it sounds like.
And that was one of the most amazing things, is I got letters from them. And some of them are like, I hope you get better, Miss. I was Miss Klein at that time. I'm like, well, uh-huh. I'm not Klein now. I'm not sick, but you know. But then the other kids who, yeah, I lost my dad too. I know how bad this hurts. And you know, you'll see him again. And it was just like, oh my gosh, I didn't ever know this about little Susie or Johnny. Just the heartfelt love. From kids was a super big blessing of love and grace. I'm like, oh my gosh, I just want to, you know, hug all these kids. They're great.
Yeah. You know, and like I said, it really reminded me that, you know, it is something that I've been really exploring just on my own journey after my grandfather died, is this concept of love. I mean, love being all, everywhere. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes we don't see it. And sometimes it takes something big for us to look at it, or, you know, want to acknowledge mm-hmm. or accept it. And so to me, this book was really beautifully written because, yeah, by the time I finished it, I was like, oh my goodness, I just want to love people and see love more now. Like, I want to engage in this energy even more. I want to understand mm-hmm. more about grace. And yeah, they're not big, you know, visionary things. They're actually these small acts that happen all throughout the day that mm-hmm. we might just be missing. And so I think that, you know, in the way that, you know, you've shared your story, it really helps the reader understand that, oh, wow, you can look up from this book in this moment and see that you're supported somehow. And I thought that was really cool.
That is beautiful feedback. I love that. And I also, Hans was a big love and grace.
Yeah.
The dog brought me all kinds, and I had to have grace.
Especially when he was younger, I would imagine, because, you know, like dogs, they like to chew.
He was a big chewer. Yeah. My youngest son didn't have any shoes without the heels and chewed out of them. And
right. Yeah. So, yeah, boy, we're getting ready to go on another break. So I'd love to talk to you more about how this is, you know, from what you know, how it's impacting people, mm-hmm. The book. You know, it's been out now. Let's see, when did you launch it?
April 24th.
April 24th. Wow. Yeah. So it's been a couple weeks now.
Yeah.
Wonderful. And then I'd love to talk more about some of your current projects and how you continue to assist people, you know, as they're moving through loss into moving forward, right, into a more bold life. All right. So with that, for our listeners, if you'd like more information on Teresa, you can go to boldfulfilledlifecoach.com, and she's got a tab on her website also for the book. The book is Soul Love, How a Dog Taught Me to Breathe Again. I highly recommend it. And again, you don't have to have gone through this type of loss to resonate with the message that this book so beautifully brings through. All right, so we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone, guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
Is traditional medicine not working for you? Do you still feel as if your health isn't 100%? Here at the Holistic Medical Center, Dr. Nushin Darvish and the qualified staff look through the dimensions of wellness and start a healing plan prioritized to your needs. Our physicians assess the whole you until complete health is achieved. Get the help you need by visiting drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Living Lighter Radio with Jason and Patricia. We have an ecosystem approach to your life. Tune in weekly every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as we, Jason and Patricia, discuss what's truly holding you back. We offer you the tools you need to reach your goals and at the same time be living lighter. For more information about Living Lighter, visit www.livinglighter.org.
Hi, I'm Barbara Scheidegger, clinical hypnotherapist and founder of Swiss Hypnotherapy. And this is a tip with purpose. Being wrong or making mistakes is human. What have you learned from it? Start laughing about the silly things you did. Yeah, laugh about it. Being happy is more important than being always right. Start listening to your feedback. Be willing to redefine yourself every day. Communication with yourself and others who already are successful in their lives. Stay balanced. And when you fall off the wagon, don't dwell on it. Just hop back on. Forgive yourself. Admit what you did. Move on. And smile. I hope this tip helps you. You can reach me at 323-999-4775 or at my website at swisshypnotherapy.com.
Winning at the game of money. Lynn Brown is now offering Full Spectrum Finance, a progressive 12-month program that will help you to navigate through the mechanics of financial expansion. Finally, a financial planner who looks at the full spectrum of money and abundance. Engage you in the mental, physical, and energetic aspects of finance. This is Full Spectrum Finance. Are you ready to get into it? For more information, go to fullspectrumfinance.com.
Welcome back, everyone. You're here at Transformation Talk Radio with me and my guest, Teresa Bittner. This is the Janice Underwood Show. And, on the show, it's my intention that I bring information to the listeners that will help them create a life that they want. You know, so often, you know, life can pass us by because we are just tolerating a situation. Sometimes we just don't know that we can choose differently. And sometimes, you know, we find ourselves in a position where we need to change unexpectedly because things happen. You know, it doesn't have to be a death. It can be, you know, the loss of a job. And so I'm so grateful that Teresa's here because, you know, she's a person that I know that when I met her, I just knew that she had walked through this and had connected into the resiliency within her. And I think that's really important for us to know. And also, I love that we're talking about her book because to me, it's a creative project that would not leave her alone. And we are creators. You know, we have these, we have things that tap on our shoulder. And so I'm hoping also that for some listeners out there that you're encouraged to, you know, with that project that keeps like tapping on your shoulder and won't leave you alone, that you lean in. Find a way just to lean in a little bit and see where that takes you. And Teresa, did you find that this book took you in different directions than you thought?
Oh, yes. And it's continuing. It has a life of its own. And I, right now, I'm just like, okay, I'm just going to strap in. The divine's got this and off we go. I'm actually going to Vegas next week to, it was a crazy offering. So it's like just crazy things are happening.
Yeah. You know, Teresa, I get the sense, you know, when I read this book and when I talked to you afterwards, that I felt like this book has a life of its own. It's like, thank you so much, Teresa, for stewarding me in. We got work to do. So, you know, tell me about that. How has this book impacted people in a way that you never thought it would?
And that came through loud and clear with the launch team, starting with people relating to how pets are so important to them and how pets help with the grieving process. And at the book signing I had, that was another topic of conversation, is how we as humans can utilize pets as a way to help us grieve, because they're companions. And mine happened to be a dog. I think most pets could. I like reptiles. I'm not sure how helpful they could be. But having a pet, and it was so crazy because people would tell me, oh, I remember my snickerdoodle, golden, whatever the heck, and how important they were. And it was kind of like for them a place to witness their own helpfulness from that dog and remember that and go, oh, yeah, I had that. I did have that unbound agape type of love from an animal. So that was one thing that I was like, oh, I guess I thought about that. I knew that happened with me. I didn't know it was a common thing.
Yeah.
So people resonated that way. And the other way that's really coming out, I'm reading them as I get the Amazon reviews, and I will brag, you listeners, 4.7 out of 5 stars, 27 reviews on Amazon. If you get it, review it. I love it. Whoa. But what's come out of this is this book is becoming a vessel for people to grieve. They can grieve privately. One person emailed me back and like, thank you so much for giving me a book that's real, it's vulnerable, and it's true. I can totally relate to this. I don't feel crazy. And I'm able to process the grief of someone very important to me on my own in the privacy of my own home. I can cry with you. I can laugh with you. And it was, I've had more than one person start to tell me this. I'm seeing it in the reviews and people are like, oh yes, it helped me process my grief. And I was like, what? I never in a million years thought it would do that. I would have always hopeful that it would be helpful to people in grief. I just didn't know how it was going to come out.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, that doesn't surprise me at all. You know, I get speechless when I think about, okay, how do I describe how this book, you know, impacted me? Because again, I didn't expect it, quite honestly. I'm like, oh yeah, I know Teresa. We talked a couple years ago. I know she was writing this book. You know, we were both, you know, talking about death, dying, end of life stuff. It is quite a surprise. It really is. And so thank you so much for, you know, sticking with this project. And I think it goes beyond grief. I think people can really, connect into love and grace. And, I love that too. What you just said is like real life, like that, you know, person gave you feedback. Hey, this is real life here. We're talking about. And I've lived this. I understand this. I think it's so important that people sometimes know that they are not alone. So what are some of the new projects that you're working on as well? You know, I know you're tending to this one. It's going to need you out there in the world. But what are some other things you're working on?
So the next book, I have started the second book because now I love writing and I'm into a writing process. So I try to write at least a couple hours every week. So it's like, okay, this is a new thing. I used to love to be creative as a kid and I'm retapping it. And the next book that's in me, and I have more than one book in me. I've always wanted to tell my childhood story. I needed to wait till some things were healed personally and my parents were old enough not to have me slander them. But the next book I'm writing, I named it. I got bold and named it. I'm calling it A Mission of Love, Elder Care Nightmare. And everybody who says that.
Wow.
Somebody was like, you can't call it that. I'm like,
wow, Teresa.
You told me what I can't call it. Oh, forget it. No, that's the title. It may change titles, but it is a mission of love. And it's my journey with my parents and I'm just going to name it dysfunctional family and how it all came about. And the journey of me being the youngest and I've got older siblings and who's most able to take care of them, who do they want to take care of them as they declined in age. And that awkward journey of the change from parent to child, from child to parent, and how to do that. And I learned a ton about our elder care system and how it's challenging. And we're not done. Mom did pass away. Dad's in memory care. And there's like, I have a lot of funny stories about memory care, if you can laugh about that.
Really? Oh, goodness.
I did journal those because as I was writing, I'm like, these are too stinking good. Like, you can't make this stuff up. I mean, some of the stuff that happened. And in that, I think you'll find also love and grace and hope were in there because there were some crazy things that happened that like no way that could have happened unless it was a divine being out there helping out, because it's like no way my sister and I could have pulled some of these things off. So that is in the works. I hope to be done in 2020. I stuck it out on my website. So I'm like, I just stuck a stake in the ground. I got to start writing seriously now.
Wow. Well, again, thank you so much for your time today, Teresa. It's been such a pleasure, talking to you. And for the listeners, again, if you want to connect with her, you can go to boldfulfilledlifecoach.com. And next week, we are at the end of our show. Can you believe that? Next week, we are going to have Lisa Wheeler on. She's going to talk to us about traumatic memory and how people experience what we might call paranormal or spiritual situations from that. It's something that she specializes in helping people with. And so that's going to be a great show for, people who, might have someone in their life who is going through something very difficult like that. So that'll be next week. And the week after, we're going to do an encore show with Krista Kilbane on her Divine Alignment System. Thanks again so much, everybody, for being here. Thank you, Teresa, for being here. And just I wish you so much goodness and love for this this body of work. And again, listeners, the book is called Soul Love, How a Dog Taught Me to Breathe Again. Go to Amazon. Check it out. Check out those reviews. And loved. Yeah. Thank you, Teresa. And everybody, know that you're loved and you're supported. And you know what? You do have access to the opportunities to create the life you want and get rid of that life you tolerate. This is Janice Underwood saying bye for now. We'll talk to you soon.
You've been listening to The Janice Underwood Show. Tune in each Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio and step into your creator shoes. Follow Janice as she continues to explore practical, soul-based tools and the creator mindset to promote healthier relationships with our bodies. Be supported in this physical life and evolve. For more information on Janice Underwood and her work, or to listen to past shows, visit janiceunderwood.com.